When God appears in the form of his name, we've heard the word avatar, an incarnation of God. But this avatar comes whenever a devotee chants with love the name of Krishna. The other, normally avatar means there's a certain schedule. It's actually given in the scripture. There's scheduled avatars. Of course, nowadays it's popular. People claim, I am the avatar. This is bogus. The last avatar came 500 years ago, and the next one's coming in 427,000 years, according to the scripture. So we understand avatar according to scripture, not according to somebody's claim to be an avatar. But anyway, avatar also will come in the form of the name of Krishna when it is chanted with love. So in other words, Krishna, the original source of all avatars, actually, he will personally manifest right here today on our tongues, in our hearts, in this room, if we will chant his names with love. So this is a very, very special thing. We can directly associate with God right now. We simply have to realize the name of God and God himself are one and different. And one and the same, I mean to say. They're not different. They are completely, totally one and the same. So if we chant in that mood, with that understanding, that Krishna and his name are the same, which is confirmed in all the revealed scriptures. Even the Bible indicates, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, even the Bible indicates, what to speak of the Quran, you see. All the scriptures indicate the transcendental power of the holy names of God. Of course, God is not limited, so he has unlimited names. It's not that not some sectarian thing, you know, only the name of Krishna. No. Our philosophy is that God has hundreds and millions of names. And even an ordinary person in this world, you know, his parents call him one thing, his girlfriend calls him something, his friends call him something else, his boss calls him something else. He has so many different names he goes by. So if an ordinary fellow in this world can have so many names, then how many names God can have? Yes. Unlimited. So, these Krishna names, especially Krishna, Rama, these names are very, very special of all the millions of names. In fact, it is stated in the Kali Santarana Upanishad that in this particular Iron Age of Kali in which we are now living, these particular names have the most potency, the most power for enlightening in the living being. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, therefore, we chant these names. But we never say, oh, unless you chant Hare Krishna, you're going to hell. We never say that. If one, with love and devotion, chants any names of the Lord, then one achieves perfection. But these names are the most powerful, the most efficient. So, therefore, we will chant Hare Krishna today. So the idea is to get into such a mood of bhakti when you're chanting. You could go on chanting, you could think, let me get into such a mood that I could do this for millions of years and just keep diving deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the way, that's when you're really on track. You go, wow, this is so sweet. I could just go deeper and deeper for millions and billions of years. Just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So the neat thing about this is that when you do this on a regular basis, and you can do it on your at home too, just on your chanting beads. You know, you can get up every morning and just sit down with your chanting beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's like kind of like a surfer getting addicted to the surf. We were just up there in
Gold Coast. Such an atmosphere of surf up there. You expect somebody to surf into the ticket counter at the airport, you know, come hang a tent into the ticket counter. And sure enough, somebody showed up with a surfboard to take the flight. So, yeah, devotee loves the name just like actually even more than the surfer loves his surf. Because how long do those waves last? This is a wave. This is the ultimate wave. You catch this wave, and you, under the guidance of the Vaishnavas and Guru, then you never wipe out, as they say, which means falling off the wave and falling off your board. You see? You can catch this wave and ride it for eternity. The wave of bhakti. You see? This wave will take you all the way beyond the cycle of birth and birth and death, back to that transcendental abode from which we all originally came. Did you ever realize that you're a stranger in a strange land? Did you know that? You don't belong to this world. That's why things don't seem right here, because this is not our place. You see? We have been artificially transplanted here by an artificial desire to try to be God ourselves when we're not actually God. We're actually servants of God. So the foolish child wanted the moon. You see. She said, "Mommy, Mommy, give me, give me." Mother cannot give the child the moon. But the mother wanted to pacify the child, so she took one mirror and put it in the child's hand in such a way that it looks like the child had the moon. You see. So at one point we were situated in the spiritual world and we had the foolish desire to be God. You see. So Krishna gave us the illusion that, yes, you are God. You see. He gave us a place where everyone thinks they're God. What is that place called? Sydney? Australia. But it doesn't work. We have so many gods running around butting heads with one another. Doesn't work. But every now and then, out of thousands and millions of living beings, you see, we're running around butting heads, you know. Krishna says, Manushanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam vititat vataha. Out of thousands and millions of living entities who are running around butting heads, there will be one who says, what's going on here? This isn't right. There's got to be something more to life than this struggle for existence, you know, the rat race. It's got to be something more than the rat race. It just doesn't seem right. It doesn't feel right. Money is the whole goal of existence. It doesn't seem right. You see. And out of 1,000 persons who have that realization, then a very fortunate person will actually come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master or a devotee of the Lord who can actually give him the information. You see. How to escape the cycle of birth and death. And out of 1,000 people who meet the spiritual master or meet a Vaishnava and get the proper information, very rare is that person who will actually take it up. Go, wow, this is amazing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to become Krishna conscious. This is incredible. It's an extremely rare thing. If you're waiting for popular votes to confirm that Krishna consciousness is the right thing to do with your life, forget it. Not going to happen. And you have to go on your own realization. There's one former nun who's writing me from Malaysia these days. She has a hard time accepting that Krishna is a name for God because the Catholics don't accept that. You see, the Catholic Church doesn't acknowledge that Krishna is a name for God. So she has a hard time accepting it because the Catholic Church doesn't accept it. I haven't answered her letter yet, but I'm getting ready to write her back and tell her, my dear such and such. Who cares what the Catholic Church thinks God's name is? Why don't you find out what God wants to be called? You see. He's the authority on what he wants to be called. Of course, all the names are valid. But they say, no, only this name, you see, not the other name. That's not proper. So the question is, you know, we've been glorifying this process of Krishna consciousness as being a valid system of actually realizing who you are, being who you are, you see. What is our basis of saying that? Are we just making this up? Is this just some, you know, hype to win friends and influence people? You see. Is this actually valid? Is it real? Is it tangible? Or is it just another one of those, you know, concocted things to exploit people? It's going on in this world. Take advantage of people. Let's take a deep philosophical look at reality with our own intelligences, you see. Let us analyze reality. This harmonium. We'll start right here. Let's analyze reality starting right here with this harmonium. This harmonium came from a manufacturer, you see. Bhatia Musicals. Alright? Alright, Bhatia Musicals came from something, which came from something, which came from something, which came from something. You can take any object, a mobile phone, your own body, your mind, your glasses, I mean, you know. You can take any object and trace out what was the cause of this object. And what was the cause of that, and what was the cause of that, and what was the cause of that. And if you do, if you can trace out the line of causality of any object or any phenomenon within this world, you will eventually come to a cause that has no causes. Some people will argue, no. There's an infinite chain of causality. So there's no beginning point. It just goes back into infinity. That's like saying there's an infinite row of dominoes. There's no beginning domino. But still, even if there wasn't an infinite row of dominoes, there would have to be one domino somewhere along that row of dominoes that on its own volition fell over to get the domino effect to happen where all the dominoes would fall over. So the idea of an infinite chain of causality doesn't hold water logically. There has to be a line of cause and effect going back to an original cause that has no causes. Otherwise, nothing happens. Nothing can happen. There has to be an original cause that can make things happen without anything else or anyone else making it do that. You see, and that is God. This is pure logic. We're not blindly accepting any religious dogmas here. We're just using our intelligence to analyze things. Alright, so there's some common origin. Even the scientists, the atheistic scientists, are looking for the origin of the universe, you see. Everyone admits, the theologians, the atheists, everyone admits there's an origin. Everything is coming from that origin. Alright, granted, there's an origin. Sanskrit, it's called Adi. So, What is the nature of that origin, and what is our relationship with that origin? See, these are very important questions we must ask. What is the nature of that origin, and what is my relationship with that origin? I'll give you a very practical example now. You see, that origin is the original fountainhead of all the energy. Okay. Everything is coming from that origin. So now I'll give you a practical example. If every day I brought to you 1 kilo of gold, pure gold, every day I delivered to your door, here's your gold. You would start to become very enlivened because that's worth a lot of money. And if you reach a certain point where you say, I don't have to take that hour and 10 minute commute anymore because I'm financially independent now. I've got enough gold, I can live off the interest of my investments. That would make you a very happy person to have a kilo of pure gold delivered every day to your house. You see. And one day your curiosity just got the best of you. Said, Sankarshan Prabhu, where are you getting this gold from anyway? Said, well, I got a gold mine. You do? How much gold you got in that gold mine? Well, I don't have any gold in the gold mine. Come on, you're lying. You're just trying to cover up. You must have an unlimited fortune of gold, and you're trying to hide it. So the point is that if you're getting gold out of the gold mine must have gold in it. I mean, it's common sense. So from that original origin, so many persons have come out. You see, you're a person, I'm a person, there are so many persons. You see. So that original source must possess personality. So why are we referring it to as it? If I called you it, would you like it? It, how is it doing today? Would you like it? You may tolerate it for a few days, but after a few days you'd be able to punch me in the face. What do you mean calling me it? I'm not it. You see? So, that original source is a person, actually. So that means it's a he or it's a she. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, there's a big debate going on, is God he or she? That's a big thing now. You know. People are saying, well, because of a male-dominated society, they imagine a male God, you know, so now we have to introduce the female God. You see? Actually, in the Vedas, that was never a problem, because for us, God is she-he. Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan. We actually approach God through the feminine aspect. Hare is the feminine aspect of God, and Krishna is the masculine. So we've never had any trouble. We've always approached God as she, he. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So anyway, Krishna, God, is emanating all living entities for what purpose? That's the next question. Why is this going on like it's going on? Why is it happening the way it's happening? So that original person is emanating from himself all varieties of living beings. For what purpose? That original person is described in the Vedas as Atmaram. I think your spiritual leader here is also Atmaram, but he's Atmaram Das, temple president of our Sydney temple, great devotee of Krishna, great preacher of our movement. He's Atmaram Das. But the original Atmaram, that is Krishna. And Krishna, being Atmaram, means self-enjoyer. He doesn't need anything else. He can just enjoy all by himself. So why is he bothered to manifest all these millions of planets and living entities? Well, why do people want to have friends? Why do parents want to have children? Because the more you have a relationship, the more the happiness grows. You see. People like to go to a party because there's a lot of people there. You see? It's like here we're having a party today. Some kirtan party. So people like to go to a party because when there's a lot of people together and doing the same thing together in a loving mood, it creates a wonderful, wonderful feeling in everyone's heart. You see? So, God is no exception. He likes to party also. Actually, we like to party because God likes to party. He's the original partier. Our nature, our partying nature comes because we're part of Him and He has the partying nature. So He, to party, He manifests from Himself an infinitude of living beings to enjoy a loving relationship with each and every one of them. And they're not carbon copies. That would be rather boring, right? Just like snowflakes. How many snowflakes are exactly the same? None. Every snowflake is totally unique. So the Lord manifests from Himself an infinitude of living beings, each one of them with unique qualities, characteristics, personalities, so He can have a special type of unique rasa or relationship with each and every one of them. So guess what? That's why you exist. God is manifesting you from Himself at this very second. He is emanating you from Himself at this very second to enjoy a certain type of loving relationship with you that only you can give Him. No one else. And that's why, unless we are connected with God in love, we cannot be satisfied. Just as a fish cannot be satisfied out of the water, we cannot be satisfied unless we are connected in loving relationship with the Lord. You see? So that's the cool thing about Krishna consciousness. It brings you back into your original constitutional nature very quickly and easily, just by the power of the Hare Krishna mantra. You actually get back in the water of your actualized spiritual nature, and you swim in that water. You see, eternity, knowledge, and bliss is your actual nature, not temporality, ignorance, and misery. So, the Krishna consciousness movement is not something sectarian. It is simply a network of those persons who want to get back into their original constitutional nature before they decided to come down to Sydney, Australia, and bunk heads. Is it? So we're very happy that you've all come today to participate in this function. Actually, you have organized. You too organized. We're very happy that you've organized. These are the facilitators. We have to thank them. They facilitated. I just come here and flap my jaws a little bit. That's all I do. Dance my fingers a little bit. These are the ones who've done the work. Made a nice arrangement so we can all come and dive into that sweet nectarian ocean of Krishna Prem, love of God. You see. Now we are just scratching the surface, but as we progress along this pathway by regular chanting, by eating foodstuffs sanctified, by being offered to the Lord, by regularly engaging these activities, then one can actually become mature. And you know what maturity means? It means you become a fully spiritually enlightened being. You become a spiritually enlightened being in due course of time by following this pathway of bhakti, yoga. You see? So we're very happy to see you all here today. We feel blessed by the presence of each and every one of you, because you are all chanting the names of God, so we are blessed by your presence here. Even if you're brand new to chanting, you just became a saint by chanting Hare Krishna. Neophyte saint. Beginning on the path of sainthood, you see. Actually, everyone is saints. See, the modern day, all you have to do is uncover it by regularly chanting the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Christians have a philosophy that they talk about, which is actually not, it goes against their own scripture. They say it's not possible to become perfect. You can only just be forgiven. But their very Bible says, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. So we should never think it's impossible to become pure. How could it be so if the Lord is saying like that? Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. The fact is that one can see God. In fact, we have a prayer in Krishna consciousness. We have a prayer, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patagami, Bhava to me. We are praying to that Supreme Lord of the entire universe, Jagannath, that you please bless me that my eyes can become purified so I can see you. And we have another prayer also, Brahma Samhita. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadaiva Hridayeshu Valokyanti Yang Shama Shundanam Chinchagunasvarupam Govinda Manipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. The meaning is that when your eyes become anointed with the salve of love of God, then you can see the Lord everywhere, within your heart and everywhere. So you may say, all right, well, where is that, what do you call it here in Australia, drugstore? Chemist shop?
Chemist.
Where is that chemist who sells the premanjana, the ointment of love of God? I want to buy some. You see, that chemist is the spiritual master. And he is selling it for the price of faith. Very cheap price. If you have some faith in the spiritual master, then he will sell you for simply that price of faith, this premanjana. And how do you apply it? It's a very interesting ointment. It comes in through your ears. It goes to your eyes through the medium of your ears. So if you will submissively hear the words from the mouth of Sri Guru, the spiritual master, then that ointment of love of God, it will purify your vision, and you will be able to come to that point of being able to directly perceive God face to face, eye to eye. And then when somebody asks, do you believe in God, you'll say, no, I know him, I see him at every minute. It's a question of believing, you know. Do you believe in God? I don't have to believe in him. I see him all the time. You see, the pure devotee has that. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada. He, Prabhupada, was saying that how he could actually see how when we offer the foodstuff on the altar, he could actually see how Krishna is eating the food. You see, we believe that Krishna is eating the food. The Prabhupada could see how he's eating the food. So anyway, we'd like to thank you all very much for coming today, and we'd like to ask you if you have any questions. I'd be happy to try to answer them. Inquiry is one of the important aspects of the Bhakti Yoga system. So if you have any curiosity or any desire to know something a little bit more, please speak up. Don't be shy. The only stupid question is the one you didn't ask. If you ask it, that's intelligence. Asking the question is a sign of intelligence. I'm getting my hearing aids turned on. And then we'll be all set. Let's see if it's cranked up. That one's on, this one should be on. Okay, you're Bhakta Bharat, yes? So, tell me, what is your question?
The question was, you mentioned how it's a constitutional position to be servant of Krishna, which we are. At the same time, why is it difficult in the material world for, like, only one, like you said, 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000 takes this process?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Why? Because the materials, the present-day material society does a super excellent job of conditioning us to think that we are these bodies. I am Australian, I am male, I am female. We have been conditioned from day one, as soon as we came out of the womb. Oh, a cute little boy. You see, we were conditioned to think, I'm this body from day one. Even within the womb, now they can determine the sex, isn't it, some test? So even the womb, there's all this talk. It's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy. It's a girl, it's a girl, it's a girl. So we're conditioned to think, I'm this body from the very beginning. And everywhere we go, it's the same conditioning. Actually, Plato gives an example in one of his writings. You know the Platonic cave? There's all these men tied in this cave. And all they can see, they're tied down, and their head is, I mean, everything's tied down. They can't, all they can see is this shadow display in the wall. Someone behind the scene is doing a shadow display. And that's, for them, that is reality, that shadow display. They can't see anything beyond them. One of them happened to somehow get loose from his bindings, and he wandered through the cave looking. And somehow he came out of the cave into the bright sunlight. At first it was dazzling. He wasn't used to it. It took him a while to adjust his eyes to be able to handle it. But he finally realized that was the real reality, and then he went that all those poor other men down there tied in the cave, he went back to them to tell them, and they thought he was a madman. They couldn't believe there was something beyond the shadow display on the wall. So it's like, you see, when it is called mass psychosis. The whole world is in a state of unreality, psychological. Everyone is, actually the whole world is psychotic. People don't realize what the reality is. Everyone is caught up in an illusion, the whole world.
And that's relevant only to this age? Or
it's in every age, but especially in this age. In the previous age, see, in this age you have 75% ignorance, increasing rapidly up to 100%. In the previous age, 50% ignorance. In the previous age, 25%. In the Satya Yuga, though, in that age, everyone was a spiritually enlightened being. Paramahamsa. Prabhupada explains, in the Satya Yuga, everyone was Paramahamsa, spiritually enlightened beings. So what we're trying to do in our Krishna consciousness movement is create another Satya Yuga-like atmosphere on this planet right now. And it's actually possible. It's actually predicted it will happen by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that there will be this inundation of Krishna Bhakti that will actually influence the whole world. Everyone will become swept away by this wonderful enlightened, spiritual enlightenment of Krishna consciousness. So we get to be spiritual revolutionaries by practicing it and spreading it. It's actually the most exciting moment in history right now. We can actually be instrumental in the awakening of a whole world from the dense, dark ignorance of bodily consciousness. Questions, Mark? Yes.
How long does an age go for?
This particular age of Kali is predicted to last. The age has a duration of 432,000 years, of which 5,000 have passed, which leaves a balance of 427,000 years. But there's a golden era predicted in the middle of it, in which, like an Indian summer, like the middle of winter, some warm spell comes. So that began 500 years ago. There's a 10,000 year period within the 432,000 years. So that's where we are in history right now, right in the beginning of a 10,000 year period of spiritual enlightenment. But outside of the Krishna conscious atmosphere, which is created by this movement, the materialistic age is getting worse and worse and worse. Maybe you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, like the terrorism, 9/11, these things, we never dreamed that such things could happen in a society. But they're happening. And they're going to, you know, they're predicted that more, even the ordinary pundits say it's going to happen more and more and more. We have to be ready. So they're trying to solve it by, you know, Department of Homeland Security, good luck. That's what they call it in the U.S., the Department of Homeland Security. By forming a new department of the government, you know, governmental bureaucracy is invented. We're going to solve the terror problem by, you know, forming a new department. Good luck. But, you know, that's like chopping off the weeds at the surface. If you want to get rid of the weeds, you got to uproot them. So the root cause of all the problems in the world is the false identification of the material body. The Krishna consciousness movement is dealing with the problems at the root. We're not treating the symptoms, we're going to the root of the problems, which is false, the false sense that I'm God and the false sense that I'm this body. If you can enlighten people that you're not your body, you're not God, you're a servant of God, then that knowledge can become widespread, then all the problems in the world will be solved. Questions, Mark? Yeah.
That process, Sankarshan Prabhu, is we remember it like we might meet someone and explain to them what Krishna consciousness is. Then we come together as a group, you know, all these people that have been introduced. And then we seem to have agendas between ourselves, or we don't cooperate, or then we judge the others.
Yes. This is because we're not focusing on. It means we get into other agendas, which basically Prabhupada has stated it very clearly. He said sometimes we take the devotional service in exchange for material power. That's really what it boils down to. I want to influence you.
Is it?
I want to be the one who influences you. That you do what I say and you follow what I do. That tinge of a desire for material power oftentimes comes with us with all good intentions. We come to become purified, but we carry with us this baggage of the desire to, you know, for material power and prestige. So that's the problem. We have to check our fault. As in the days of the Old West, they would say, check your guns at the door. You see? We have to have a peg at the door for false egos. Check your false ego at the door. You know, and come on in, but check your false ego at the door. You know, that desire for power, prestige. Leave it at the door. Because it doesn't work in the Krishna consciousness movement. Sometimes it may appear that it worked, but we had big leaders who didn't check their false ego at the door. And they got some power, some position, but then because they were more attracted to the power and the position than they were to Krishna consciousness. They got that power and the position because they didn't have Krishna consciousness. There was no taste, and they gave it up. So we really have to. This is why I'm giving oftentimes seminars on pure. I gave a seminar in West Virginia. I gave a seminar. I've given seminars in Europe also on pure devotional service. In New Govardhan, I gave one also the other day too. This is the real essence of Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service. In fact, it was amazing. The first time I wanted to do one of these seminars in North America, at the North American Festival of Inspiration, I told the organizers I wanted to do a seminar on pure devotional service. And, you know, it went over like a wet rag. They said no. Like it wasn't very important. I'm well known for being an internet guru, having success, you know, and I got 20,000 people taking my e-course all over the world. So they said, you do one on internet. You do one on internet. That we'd like you to do one on your internet, how you use the internet for Krishna. You know, this is high tech, state of the art. I mean, pure devotional service, that's kind of, you know, old fashioned. I mean, he didn't say that. That was kind of like the implication. We want something that's cutting edge, you know, high tech. They didn't say it, but I mean, they decided they didn't want me allowed to do a seminar on pure devotional service. So I said, look, here, I'll make a deal with you. I will do internet if you let me do pure devotional service also. And I said, all right. And then, you know what happened? When I gave the two seminars, Guess which one was more popular with the devotees? Pure devotional service. So we need to focus on that. We really do. I mean, we did a program with some devotees, initiated a devotee the other day, and one man argued it's not possible to become a pure devotee in this lifetime. So it's like, well, you might not even try because you can't attain it. But that's not a right attitude. Prabhupada ordered me to become a pure devotee. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that doesn't mean, well, later on, Prabhupada. No, now. See, when the spiritual master gives an order, you do it now. You don't say, well, later on, Prabhupada, you know, when I go back to Godhead, then I'll think about being... No. When the spiritual master gives an order, that means now. Do it now. So Prabhupada ordered me, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So if we focus, each and every one of us focus on becoming a pure devotee, you see, then everything will be very wonderful. We'll see a pure Vaikuntha atmosphere manifested in the association of devotees. And then there'll be wonderful loving relationships between all the devotees, and that will create an atmosphere that will attract the whole world to join. So I think our time is running short. I've been informed that time is running short, is it?
No.
What's our next appointment?
That's a flexible.
It's flexible?
Yeah.
How flexible?
Very flexible.
Very flexible?
When is it?
It's about 10 minutes. Just
see, we originally scheduled to go there at 3 o'clock. But they said we could come earlier, so there'd be no gap.
Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock now, so we have 2 hours before we have to be at the next program. But we wanted to go earlier, a little earlier was our plan.
Yes. It's only 10 minutes from here. Yes.
It's only 10 minutes from here.
Yeah, it's at your discretion. It's only 10 minutes from here. So it's just up the road from here.
Is there a Prashadam also?
Yes.
Well, we don't want people to pass out of hunger. So we actually can continue talking over Prashadam. If anybody wants to discuss, they can join me for Prashadam. And we can continue talking over Prashadam. So we thank you very much for your nice listening and your nice questions and your nice chanting. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.
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 ISKCON Australia Down Under Vaishnavas ki jai.